problems in this world. And will these corruptions remain unanswered and without punishment for those who did it? This itself shows that this world is a place to pass, and everything you do here is recorded. In other words, the creation of the hereafter is based on the wisdom of Allah. This is why those who possess intellect claim that Allah is immaculate, and they glorify Him and fully believe that Allah will not create this world in vain and leave it to itself without any reckoning or calculation of the good and bad deeds. Thus, there is a world after this world, and we will be asked about our deeds soon or late. Thank you very much, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Kalav Islam page, for listening to this episode of the program Ulama's Speech, which was the English translation of a short speech by Ayatollah Sayyid Mohsen Kharrazi. To find out more about this program, log on to our website, parstoday.com/en, Kalav Islam page. We leave you in Allah's care and goodbye.
The first Iranian scientist to be assassinated in the past decade, but he was a pillar of Iran's scientific development and services for military and even medical purposes. Mohsen Fakhrizadeh was ambushed in a weekend mountainous resort off Tehran on Friday, the 7th of November. Drag America into an unnecessary war and get it to set the rest of West Asia ablaze too. And why? Just to hold on to your own illegitimate existence. It's not proven, of course, that said scientist was assassinated by Israel. But the evidence is tangible and the motive no secret. But why now? And will it have been worth the effort? For answers, stay with me, Leila Faramazi, on Iran Today. It's probable that Trump will be a single-term president, and if Biden takes office in the coming months, as it is assumed by his campaign slogans, he might return to the Iran nuclear deal and try to make U.S.'s approach different to that of Trump's and pick up talks with Iran. Now, Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu has said loud and clear there must be no return to the previous nuclear agreement. What better motive for killing off Iran's elites and military scientists, especially with America on your side? Kill him off, provoke Iran, get America to counter-react, and there go any hopes for talks. Mr. Ruivaran is a Middle East analyst, always with historic detail handy to support his comments. Let's hear him out.
The goal behind the assassination of yet another prominent Iranian scientist seems pretty straightforward. But what would you say it is?
In my opinion, there are two goals behind this assassination. It's a general goal that those seeking to restrict Iran's military industry have stepped in to turn their demands into an operational stage and thus assassinate the father of Iran's military industry. This has been a large-scale goal. The name of Mohsen Fakhrizadeh has already been mentioned by the Mossad and the CIA. The second goal was tactical. They seek to force Iran to make a rash reaction to this event. Basically, Mr. Trump is working with Israel to make Iran do something that would make it fundamentally impossible to return to the deal and prevent a possible Biden administration from returning to the deal.
President Trump has been using his first term's last days to impose a new sanction a week on Iran. That is just to make it all that much harder for a possible Biden administration to return to normalcy with this country. But be ready for an unexpected spin to the true story. Mr. Izadi here is professor of international studies.
I think Mr. Netanyahu is trying to do a favor for President-elect Biden. You know, they know each other for many years. Netanyahu calls Mr. Biden an old friend and part of his family. And what they are trying to do is to create a setting for when Biden becomes president to have leverage against Iran.
So Israel is aiming to help the U.S. bring a weakened Iran to the negotiating table. But what if they get more than they've asked for? Because attacking a fifth and sixth scientist on Iranian soil could provoke an Iranian attack on Israel, hence inviting U.S. intervention in the region yet again. Iran has promised retaliation. It has retaliated in past against the U.S. Israel should be a lot easier. It's to be seen how and when Iran might do so, so as not to play into foul hands, however. Mr. Tajik joined us by Skype. To hear his experienced views is worth every moment of struggling with the connection.
With such moves, they try to force Iran to react. The next goal is to make Iran play into this scenario of the Zionist regime in Saudi Arabia and the Hebrew Arab faction. This will not happen. And naturally, the Islamic Republic will not set goals and actions based on the scenarios designed by others, but will act on its own plans to achieve its goals.
It is noteworthy that Iranian Parliament's first legal reaction to the assassination was to change the strategic action for lifting of sanctions, single urgency motion to double urgency motion, with an absolute majority of votes on November the 29th, 2020, in order to speed up action. The motion had been presented earlier and was passed on Tuesday, December the 1st, with 248 yeas. The motion has 9 provisions. Some important provisions are that the Nuclear Energy Organization must produce and store 120 kilograms of 20% enriched uranium annually, must produce 500 kilograms of uranium at different levels of enrichment for peaceful purposes once a month, and must reverse the Arak reactor back to its pre-JCPOA condition. Also, the government is obligated to report in 3 months from the passing of this motion on the compliance of other parties to the JCPOA. Should results not be satisfactory, the government must halt practice of the additional protocol of the NPT. Ms. Fallahi of the Parliamentary National Security Committee explains further.
Regarding this double agency motion, I should say that we didn't propose it in Parliament under spur of the moment. We had prepared it some 3 months ago, way before the assassination, as a reaction to the non-compliance of the 4+1 countries. It was approved as a single agency motion. Then after this unfortunate occurrence, we approved it as a double agency motion to expand our nuclear scientific capabilities. It is completely peaceful and in full compliance with the JCPOA's Articles 36 and 37, which state, should other parties to the deal not fulfill their commitments, we can also reduce our commitments as long as they have not returned to compliance. It is based on what those countries signed themselves.
The website Israel Hayom published a bold headline 29th November that read, Iran's Tafia makes the world a safer place. It refers to the assassinations of Qasem Soleimani and Mohsen Fakhrizadeh, both recognized as martyrs in Iran. Such headlines coming from Israel sound like confessions, especially because Benjamin Netanyahu in April 2018 did say, "Remember this name," referring to Fakhrizadeh, as if putting a target on the scientist's back.
For a glimpse into the more credible accounts of how the crime actually happened, we've got Mr. Abedin here with us in the studio. Mohan Abedin is a political analyst for Press TV. Welcome to the studio. Thanks for joining the program. Do feel free to begin your account whenever.
On the morning of Friday, 30th of November, one of Iran's leading scientists and a pioneer in nuclear-related research was transiting through the mountain retreat of Absad, situated nearly 100 kilometers east of the capital city, Tehran. While there are several versions as to what precisely unfolded on the main boulevard of Absad on that fateful morning, the following account is the most credible. As Dr. Fakhrizadeh's car was driving down the boulevard, his car came under attack from gunmen mounted on two motorcycles moving in the opposite direction of the leading scientist's car. As the gunmen on motorcycles approached Dr. Fakhrizadeh's car, they opened fire. Meanwhile, a semi-truck parked on the side of the road on Fakhrizadeh's side and packed with wood suddenly exploded. But the explosion was not as strong or effective as the assassins hoped. However, the explosion forced Dr. Fakhrizadeh out of his car, where he was struck by at least three bullets. One of Fakhrizadeh's bodyguards, possibly traveling on a trailing vehicle, tried to shield the leading scientist, and he too was hit by bullets and gravely wounded. Following a short outburst of gunfire, the terrorist quickly fled the scene by traveling down the boulevard and exiting Absad. Contrary to reports, the terrorist had not turned off the small town's electricity supply prior to the attack. The explosion of the semi-truck knocked off the town's power for a brief period. Again, contrary to reports, there were no CCTVs in the vicinity of the attack for the terrorist to deactivate. The closest CCTV is in a square where the town's municipality is situated, and that's several kilometers away from the scene of the attack.
IRGC Chief General Salami implies the assassination happened days before the U.S. is driven out of the region, a year from the U.S. assassination of General Soleimani in early January this year. Here are a few lines of his statement on the Fakhrizadeh case. "Our missiles and drones are locked on 20,000 targets. Only Israel knows who and where we might aim for. The second defense or reaction plan is to destroy thousands of carriers of tanks, planes and equipment. No shot will be aimless and in vain. We warn surrounding countries. Any shot from any point in your countries will be the destruction of the whole area." Israel is a prime suspect, not for no good reason. Israel has the capacity and has done it before. It also has a motive and has the US's blessing, as I said. I asked people from different walks of life how they felt about a prominent Iranian scientist being assassinated on his own soil.
I have a feeling of sadness, anger, and an obligation for me to avenge the blood of this martyr.
I just feel my condolence for such a loss, and I want to express my compassion to my nation. And our society is eager to retaliate. We just want to some retaliation in the same time, in the same way, at the same level.
We witnessed a cowardly assassination, and I think that the heart of every Iranian and the heart of every free man in the world was saddened. The Iranian people and the whole world condemned such acts.
The available evidence shows the enemies behind this incident were the Americans and the Israelis. We expect the government to fully identify the perpetrators of this assassination and to avenge this martyr.
It's noteworthy the Obama administration condemned Israel's earlier assassinations precisely because it knew the murders wouldn't set back Iran's nuclear program, really, but would set back any efforts to negotiate a deal to curb the program. And now, to get back into that nuclear deal, if Biden wins the U.S. election and takes office, he will most likely have to strongly communicate that Israel will incur costs if it continues to carry out attacks in Iran. The 2015 Iran nuclear deal was signed between Iran and the P5+1. That's the US, UK, France, Russia, China, plus Germany.
The nation isn't totally unified in how it views the world, but anti-US sentiment among Iranians still definitely exists and is nothing new. It's not hatred for hatred. It began with US interference in Iran's internal matters even before the revolution. And in the past year alone, the Trump administration has reportedly run several joint sabotage operations with Israel against Iran's nuclear facilities.
Also, to assassinate Iranian General Soleimani outside the Baghdad airport early in January, the U.S. relied partly on Israeli intelligence. And earlier this month, Trump himself reportedly raised the possibility of attacking Iran with his top national security advisors. And shortly after, U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo met with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and Arab adversaries of Iran.
This is how they have failed to overthrow the Islamic Republic for the last 41 years. You know, they thought that having Saddam Hussein attack Iran militarily is going to finish the government here. And what they actually did was to prolong the life of the Islamic Republic by creating so many martyrs. And this is what they don't get. They don't understand that the culture here is a culture of martyrdom, a culture of resistance.
Here's what the people thought about whether the loss of another prominent scientist, perhaps the most prominent of those assassinated, would shatter the foundations of Iran's scientific advancement.
Certainly, the scientists who have been martyred have trained many students to follow in their footsteps. Their blood will definitely help us to continue down this path with more strength.
Removing scientists do not lead to deletion of science, and that is a misperception that they have, and they do know that. It just makes us to pursue knowledge much more than before.
What the enemies and ill-wishers of the Islamic Republic should know is that this movement and the progress that has been made during the last 42 years will not be stopped by such events, and we will continue on our path and progress further.
Mr. Ruivaran comments on how the murder might affect the nation.
In terror,
one of its aims was to destroy the morale of the people. As we have seen in the past, society regrets the assassination of its own scientists, and I think this creates a spirit of frustration in society. The security organizations in Iran must act quickly and identify those involved in this crime and respond to them to compensate for the psychological impact on Iranian society.
Apart from the fact that Iran has perhaps hundreds of scientists and institutional knowledge enough to carry on regardless of any single scientist, Mr. Fakhrizadeh's importance is now more symbolic and less for current knowledge of the detail of Iran's present scientific programs.
I believe that knowledge cannot be assassinated.
The nuclear or missile knowledge has been localized by Iranian experts. The killing of five other nuclear experts and scientists who were martyred before the signing of the JCPOA did not stop this. The Iranians have gained domestic knowledge that can no longer be stopped.
If it's even possible to excuse Israel's highly probable crime of state terror with the Trump administration's acquiescence, if not complicity, there are those in Israel and the U.S. who see the current maximum pressure policy of U.S. sanctions and threats of attacks on Iran as the only route to stop Iran from expanding its influence, whatever that may mean. The key point is that they think Iran can be controlled by pressure and threats. The five-year history of the JCPOA is enough to prove that theory miserably wrong. The one thing that got Iran to curb its peaceful nuclear program was civility demonstrated in signing that Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, or nuclear deal. In return for doing so, nuclear-related economic UN sanctions were to be lifted off Iran. But
they failed to defeat Iran in the fields of hardware and military capabilities, so they opted to focus on the field of software and chaos to eliminate the manifestations of Iran's power, which are its elites and scientists, by the most violent and brutal means, namely terror and assassination. At the same time, while respect for scholars, scientists, and elites has a fundamental place in human nature, for this oppressive order, scientists are perceived as hindrances because they have the knowledge and the enemy knows that they can strengthen their nations.
If partnerships with Israel and Arab states such as Saudi Arabia are to be strategic to the U.S., I'd really reconsider those partnerships, because U.S. strategic partnerships should make the U.S. more secure, not less, to take a page out of responsible statecraft.
Plenty more to be learned and more to be said on the matter, and for that I'll be back in no time. But first, a look at other media outlets to see what they have to say with Shahzad.
Hi, I'm Shahrazad Manoucheri, and we'll be reviewing the latest update on the assassination of Iranian scientists and futile attempts to undermine Iran's progress. Tasnim News Agency states ex-CIA head warns of lethal retaliation after assassination of Iranian scientist. Former CIA Director John Brennan described the assassination of top Iranian scientist Mohsen Fakhrizadeh as a criminal act, warning that this could risk sparking a wider conflagration in the Middle East. This was a criminal act and highly reckless. It risks lethal retaliation and a new round of regional conflict, Brennan tweeted on Friday. Iranian leaders would be wise to wait for the return of responsible American leadership on the global stage and to resist the urge to respond against perceived culprits, he added. In an article by Ruda, we see Bernie Sanders states, assassination of Iranian nuclear scientists, reckless, provocative, and illegal. U.S. Senator Bernie Sanders has described the assassination of a high-ranking Iranian nuclear scientist as reckless, provocative, and illegal, and a deliberate act meant to impair the possible incoming American president's foreign policy agenda. Top Israeli officials have not claimed involvement in the assassination. I have no clue who did it. It's not that my lips are sealed because I'm being responsible. I simply have no clue, Israeli Cabinet Minister Tzachi Hanegbi said. That's all for this segment.
Even after the United States of America tried diplomacy, Israel pressed the Trump administration to end U.S. participation in the JCPOA, and that it did in 2018. This meant U.N. sanctions were now reimposed and reinforced on Iran as U.S. sanctions. Tensions between the two states escalated naturally, and escalation of tensions since have brought the U.S. and Iran to the brink of war twice. Strategic partnership to serve one party. In case you're wondering why the U.S. would serve Israel to the disadvantage of its own people, it wouldn't. It's doubtful it would. But Israel has hold over U.S. presidents thanks to AIPAC, the powerful Jewish lobby in America, and now it has an Arab alliance to support it at this end.
The U.S. government and Israel have a strategic alliance with each other. Sometimes America's behavior goes in the direction that it is willing to suffer a lot of losses in order to save the Zionists. The Zionists, on the other hand, are assisting the Americans in the region. In the U.S. strategy, its hegemonic stability is defined by ensuring Israel's security.
I said some in the U.S., Israel, and its apparently newly allied Arabs accuse Iran of expanding its influence in the region. Iran is a millennia-old regional heavyweight and sees itself responsible for maintaining a balance of power in its own region. Do note, the U.S. is over 10,000 kilometers far from this region, and, well, how Israel came about and maintains its presence in the region.
Israel is the decades-long entity that rests on occupied Palestine. Also, it's the only entity in West Asia known to have nuclear warheads, hundreds of them. As for its policy of governmental terrorism, let's take a look at some faces from the past.
2010 saw Massoud Ali Mohammadi, a Tehran University professor, assassinated in a pinpoint blast. Also in late 2010, Majid Shahriari, who specialized in neutron transport, met the same fate. Assassins riding motorcycles planted and detonated a C4 bomb on his car door whilst he was driving. He was instantly killed. Fereydoun Abbasi, his fellow nuclear scientist and professor at Shahid Beheshti University, also had a bomb attached to his car and detonated by the killers from a distance. But he and his wife escaped death. They were wounded. In 2011, Dariush Rezai Nejad was gunned down outside his Tehran apartment. He was an electrical engineer, doctoral student, whose work involved nuclear applications. No time wasted. In 2012 came Mostafa Ahmadi Roshan's turn. Motorbike riders attached a magnetic bomb that tore apart a car carrying him. He was a nuclear scientist working at Iran's main uranium enrichment facility in Natanz. Roshan was in fact set to attend a memorial for Massoud Ali Mohammadi, who was killed in similar fashion. After this latest assassination, it's more likely that should Iran return to the negotiating table, it will return stronger with more demands, not weaker.
Thanks for joining us from the whole team. We'll also be doing a piece on the anniversary of the Soleimani assassination. Bye for now.
This is the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily, round the clock, for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, medium wave, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 41 meters, 7,300 kilohertz every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 49 meters, 6,040 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and IranSat or Bat 5 and via the Internet. Our Internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Did you really read all those books, or is it just to make an impression?
My sisters love those books. I really think you might like them. And I'm willing to be directed as well.
How
much are you familiar with the books in the bookshelves of the Muslim libraries in the world?
You're listening to the program Bookshelf on RIB English Radio with Brother Hussein, a book lover and a student of Tarbiyat Mudarris University of Tehran.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. To all our brothers and sisters, avid readers of books, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You've tuned into IRIB English Radio broadcasting from Iran. The show is Bookshelf and I'm Hussein. I'm here if you're looking for a book to read this week. As we travel through life, what's more important than acquiring knowledge in order to live our few years on this earth more appropriately? It's not possible for all of us to excel in science. It needs the proper background and the proper conditions to develop our understanding. But God has blessed us with accessible knowledge, and He has given us individuals among us who surpass the rest of us in knowledge. We may study the findings of these individuals, these great scholars, read their books, and listen to their lectures. And one such figure is Muhammad Taqi Jafari. Muhammad Taqi Jafari was born in a family that was by no means rich, which obviously creates many impediments in his progress in education and academic endeavors. Yet he persisted, and it was his tireless persistence and stamina that turned him into one rich man in knowledge and mysticism. Although he never studied at any university, yet his endeavors led to the creation of invaluable amounts of knowledge, particularly in fields such as philosophy, anthropology, and ideology. Jafari began his formal education at theological schools and seminaries, but his academic career mostly involves comprehensive viewpoints with the context of solving major ideological and philosophical dilemmas. He's been described as a man who avoided prejudiced or limited thoughts and never confined himself to geographical boundaries. His main concern was mankind in the future, a future we cannot afford to neglect. Today we want to introduce a book that has collected parts of Ayatollah Jafari's various books. Stay tuned.
Why do we read books in the first place? What are books good for?
We read books because we don't want to reinvent the wheel, if you will.
We'd better take advantage of human cultural and intellectual heritage, particularly related to our daily activities, such as our physical, mental, spiritual, or even religious health.
We can't ignore the past thoughts and experiences. To do so, we need to boost our bookshelf.
You're back on IRIB English Radio broadcasting from Iran. This is Bookshelf, and just before the break, we were talking about how there are individuals among us who excel in science and knowledge, and by referring to their books, we can acquire and obtain their knowledge as well. So the book that I want to introduce today is called The Mystery of Life, which is a collection of excerpts from the myriad number of books that Allama Muhammad Taqi Jafari published before his death in 1998. The book deals with a range of subjects related to human life, such as philosophy, mysticism, anthropology, culture, art, history, and much more. You can download the book from al-islam.org. It comes in 323 pages, and after the break, we will be reading page 94 of this book, which is about the necessity of recognizing the ultimate aim of life.
Seven barometric pressure.
We come to you, and O God, knowing that thou art our only king.
Stay tuned to the program Bookshelf on IRIB English Radio.
You're back on IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Bookshelf, and we're about to read page 94 of the book, The Mystery of Life. And this page talks about the necessity of recognizing the ultimate aim of life. We can present several reasons why it is necessary to recognize the ultimate aim of life. Many schools of thought throughout history have attempted to seek and present the aim of life. They regard goals merely higher than the petty goals of life as the ultimate end of life. If the relative goals in natural life really could provide the ultimate goal of life, there would be no more need for research on the philosophy of life. As man's knowledge and dominance over his life increases, it has been proven that man's true life is meaningless without choosing higher aims for life. Without an intelligible aim, human life will lose all its value and significance. If the universe and the phenomenon called life have no aim, life will have no meaning at all. As Nasser Khosrow, the renowned Iranian poet, says, "All this world and stars are not all of what there is. Someday, all this will come to an end." There are many different schools of thought on what the aim of life is. Let's study some of them further. Personal goals. Some people consider what they desire, like money, power, science, and maybe even serving people, as their main aim in life. Power. Some intellectuals, like Nietzsche, believe power to be the main aim of life. Making the best choice. Some people, like Nero, Genghis Khan, Alexander, and the pharaohs, are regarded as the best choice in natural life schools of thought. Hedonism. Hedonists believe that saturating one's need for pleasure is the main aim of life. They have mistaken the interpretation of the mechanism of purely natural life for the main aim of life. Comfort and luxury. Some schools of thought see the main aim of life in having luxury and comfort. Can anyone accept the logic that you should lose your life today so that a living human being in the future may have a comfortable life? Now that life today is not any less comfortable than the future, why should it be sacrificed? Furthermore, those human beings whom history remembers as distinguished and aware do not even consider their own comfort as their aim of life. How can they consider the comfort of beings like themselves in the future as their aim of life? Man. Some schools of thought believe that man is the aim of life. Moral ethics, avoiding disturbing others, activating human emotions and respect towards others are the main principles of this belief. The problem with it, however, is that it provides no logical grounds for man to give up his greed and learn how to sacrifice his own wishes for the sake of others. Abstracting the soul from material interests. Some Indian religions consider the aim of life as purifying the soul from all desires, whims, and wishes. Although this belief reinforces one aspect of the soul, it ignores the others, which are activated by establishing a correct relationship between man and the universe. The climax of this aim of life is when the abstraction seeker considers himself as God, claiming that there is nothing in him but God. After quite a convincing study and thoughts that satisfy my conscience, I have come to the conclusion that these Indians, having reached an extremely delicate view of the universe, where they are able to see the universe as a unit for their own perception, make a very strange mistake. Instead of realizing how great their soul is, they make God seem smaller. We can say, however, that if the human soul makes such mistakes in these delicate states, their soul truly has made no progress at all.
Stay tuned to the IRIB English Radio.
That's all the time that I have, but if I've done my job right, I must have been able to convince you that this book is really worth the read. The book that I introduced is called The Mystery of Life by Allama Muhammad Taghi Jafari, which you can download for free from al-islam.org. You can also download an archive of this episode and our previous episodes from our website. Simply search IRIB English Radio Bookshelf. Until next week. And a lot of studying. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
In the limelight.
By letter on Monday, November 30, to head of the UN Office on Drugs and Crime, UNODC, Iran's envoy to the world body, Kazem Gharibabadi, said, "The assassination of the Iranian nuclear scientist and researcher, Dr. Mohsen Fakhrizadeh, is the continuation of other terrorist measures against the Iranian nation, which started a decade ago through the assassination of several Iranian nuclear scientists in 2010, 2011, and 2012, and calls for due attention from the international community and relevant international organizations." He added that acts of state terror, like what took the life of Fakhrizadeh and countless others, threaten world peace, stability, and security. They constitute flagrant breaches of the UN Charter and other international law. Gharibabadi stressed evidence suggests Israeli responsibility for targeted assassinations in Iran. He called on the international community to fulfill its commitments with respect to international law and the fight against terrorism, and to strongly condemn the inhumane assassination of the Iranian nuclear scientist and researcher in the strongest terms, adding, "The Islamic Republic of Iran believes that the adoption of a double-standard approach to countries in the battle against terrorism will not only be unconstructive, but will also lead to the failure of the global fight against terrorism and will further contribute to and nurture terrorism." Here we present you an article in this regard written by Stephen Lendman, Chicago-based author, research associate of the Center for Research on Globalization, and host of the Progressive Radio News Hour, under the heading, "Israeli Assassination of Iranian Nuclear Scientist and Researcher Won't Go Unanswered." Please stay with us to hear more about this issue. Since establishment of illegal Israeli regime in 1948 by displacing hundreds of thousands of Palestinians from their land, mass murdering others, and terrorizing remaining ones, Israeli authorities repeatedly committed the highest of high crimes internally and cross-border with impunity. Throughout the Islamic Republic's history since its establishment in 1979, Iran has been a prime Israeli target, repeatedly committing crimes against the state and its people. Recently, its hitmen assassinated senior Iranian nuclear scientist and researcher Dr. Mohsen Fakhrizadeh, a Netanyahu regime act of cold-blooded murder. It won't go unanswered. Iran has to respond in its own way at a time of its choosing. On Monday, November 30, Iran's Defense Minister, Brigadier General Amir Khatami, said the following, "We will pursue the perpetrators till the end," adding, "I sincerely thank all the nations and governments that sympathized with Iran for this incident and expressed their disgust with the assassination." He said funding for Iranian defense projects will be doubled. On Tuesday, December 1st, Iranian Foreign Ministry spokesman Saeed Khatibzadeh stressed that the Islamic Republic will give an excruciating response to the perpetrators and murderers of martyr Fakhrizadeh, adding, "Throughout the region, all but one country condemned the terrorist attack, apartheid Israel the exception." He said Iran's neighboring countries and allies, and even those who were not allies of Iran, deplored the assassination, adding, "All know that this condemnation is aimed at the occupying regime of Israel." Addressing Fakhrizadeh's cold-blooded murder tops the agenda of Iran's foreign ministry. Khatibzadeh dismissed media reports alleging the assassination of an IRGC general along the Iran-Iraq border on Monday, November 30, calling the claim media propaganda. Iran's armed forces reported that no such incident occurred. By letter on Monday, November 30, to head of the UN Office on Drugs and Crime, UNODC, Iran's envoy to the world body, Kazem Gharibabadi, said the following: "The assassination of Dr. Mohsen Fakhrizadeh is the continuation of other terrorist measures against the Iranian nation, which started a decade ago through the assassination of several Iranian nuclear scientists in 2010, 2011, and 2012, and calls for due attention from the international community and relevant international organizations." He added that acts of state terror like what took the life of Fakhrizadeh and countless others threaten world peace, stability, and security. They constitute flagrant breaches of the UN Charter and other international law. Gharibabadi stressed evidence suggests Israeli responsibility for targeted assassinations in Iran. He called on the international community to fulfill its commitments with respect to the international law and the fight against terrorism, and to strongly condemn the inhumane assassination of the Iranian nuclear scientist and researcher in the strongest terms, adding, "The Islamic Republic of Iran believes that the adoption of a double standard approach to countries in a battle against terrorism will not only be unconstructive, but will also lead to the failure of the global fight against terrorism and will further contribute to and nurture terrorism." Russia's foreign ministry condemned Fakhrizadeh's assassination, calling it a provocative terrorist act aimed at destabilizing the situation and fueling a potential conflict in the region, adding, "Stability and security of West Asia and the Persian Gulf region is a constant priority of the Russian Federation." Recently, China's foreign ministry spokeswoman Hua Chunying said the following about Fakhrizadeh's assassination: "China is shocked by the assassination of the Iranian scientist and condemns this violent crime. We hope that the incident will be thoroughly investigated," adding, "China opposes any act that aggravates regional tensions and undermines regional peace and stability." She said, "As the current situation in the region is highly complex and sensitive, all parties should work together to ease regional tensions and maintain regional peace and stability." Retired four-star U.S. Admiral William McRaven said the following about Fakhrizadeh's assassination: "The Iranians are going to be in a position where they have to retaliate. I don't see any way around it," adding, "So now the issue becomes, what does that retaliation look like? Does that then begin to escalate the problems in the region?" Speaker of Iran's parliament, Mohammad Bagher Ghalibaf, said the right of self-defense affords Iran the legal right to retaliate against the recent incident. Its ruling authorities will pursue definitive punishment on the perpetrators of the crime. Pointing fingers at the Zionist regime, he stressed that it has a long history of targeted extraterritorial assassinations in the sensitive West Asia region and beyond, adding, "Iran's parliament considers this criminal and felonious act to be a clear example of organized terrorism, in obvious contradiction and flagrant violation of the principle of national sovereignty of the Islamic Republic of Iran, and strongly condemns it." Ghalibaf said Fakhrizadeh's assassination will not disrupt the scientific and defense development and peaceful programs for achieving new technologies in the Islamic Republic, but will rather increase the nation's efforts to reinforce the country's scientific and defensive power. He said, undoubtedly, Islamic Republic of Iran, which has always sought to promote peace and security in the region and the world and played a key role in the fight against terrorism, will focus on pursuing definitive punishment of those who ordered and committed this terrorist act, adding, it also reserves its right to act within the framework of the principle of legitimate defense in countering organized terrorist acts. Haaretz asked if Fakhrizadeh's assassination blasted a hole in the Biden-Netanyahu relationship. Not in the slightest. Under both right wings of its war party, U.S. support for Israeli regime is rock solid. Both countries partner in their wars of aggression against invented enemies. The CIA and Mossad collaborate in committing numerous high crimes in the region and elsewhere. Former U.S. Vice President Joe Biden, who projected by the media as the winner of U.S. 2020 presidential election, will continue Trump regime war on Iran by other means, along with waging hot wars on targeted countries. That's how the scourge of imperial operates, how it has earlier and will ahead.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
This is A to Z. Introduction to Islamic Lifestyle. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Beneficent, the Most Merciful. Dear brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum. Peace and blessings of Allah be upon you all. This is A to Z, coming to you from IRIB English Radio. And I'm your host, Ali. This radio show is about Islamic lifestyle, and in each episode, we will be talking about a different lesson. Please stay with us till the end of today's program. Today's lesson, the signs of a believer. Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and his progeny has said, describing the believer, he is subtle in his movements, sweet to look at. He seeks out the loftiest of matters and has the most outstanding moral ethics. He is not prejudiced against he whom he does not like, nor biased in favor of one he loves. He is hardly a burden, and instead is very helpful. He perfects his actions as if he is being watched, lowers his gaze, is liberal in his giving, and never turns away a beggar. He considers his words carefully and guards his tongue. He neither accepts falsehood from a friend nor rejects truth from an enemy. He only learns in order that he might know and he only knows in order that he may act. When he travels with worldly people, he is the smartest of them. And when he travels with the people of the hereafter, he is the most pious from among them. Brothers and sisters, this is how Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, they expect to see a believer. This is how, you know, these traits are laid out for us so we can adopt them, so we can nourish them, so we can grow them, so we can strengthen them in our existence. And this is what is important for us to know before we act, that these are the signs of a believer. Welcome back, dear listeners. Today we are discussing the signs of a believer. Imam Ali alayhis salam has also provided us with a list of things that he expects to see in all of us. Imam says, the believer is such that his joy is evident on his face, whereas his sorrow is in his heart. His breast is at its widest, that is, biggest heart, you know, he's open-hearted. But his ego is at its lowest. He despises high ranks and shuns repetition. His grief is long-lasting, and his ambition is lofty. His silence is much, and his time occupied. He is grateful, extremely patient, and immersed in deep thought. He is prudent with his needs. He is good-natured and mild-tempered. His soul is firmer than steel, while his ego remains lower than a slave. So this is a definition, an outline of how a true believer is supposed to be. These are the signs that are supposed to take roots in our existence if we want to be believers. And then when we recite Quran and when we recite all the merits of believers, what they're going to get in the hereafter, that's when we become deserving of those. Unless we perform these actions and build these traits in our existence, we cannot be by any means considered to be believers. Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, thank you very much for staying with us till the end of today's episode of A to Z. Don't forget to log on to our website at www.parstoday.com, Call of Islam page. We leave you all in the care of Allah. Till next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
In the limelight.
The coronavirus is not a shape shifter like the flu virus, but it could become vaccine resistant over time. That prompts researchers to urge vigilance. What you just heard were words selected from an article authored jointly by James Gorman and Carl Zimmer under the heading, "The Virus Won't Stop Evolving When the Vaccine Arrives." Stay tuned for more. In a 1988 essay on pandemics, Joshua Lederberg, the president of the Rockefeller University, reminded the medical community that when it comes to infectious diseases, the laws of Darwin are as important as the vaccines of Pasteur. As medicine battles bacteria and viruses, those organisms continue to undergo mutations and evolve new characteristics. Lederberg advised vigilance. We have no guarantee that the natural evolutionary competition of viruses with the human species will always find ourselves the winner. With the emergence